Colossians, book of Colossians. Happy to be saved today? Anybody? Amen. Anybody happy? All right. You know, if you're saved today, you're in a battle. You're in a battle. And the battle's in the mind. That's what we're looking at. We first started looking at, are you in the right mind in this battle? We showed you two different and opposing mindsets that you can live by. You can live by the things of the flesh, or you can live by things of the spirit. The second thing we looked at was, what will it take to change your mind? We saw how Paul laid out his resume and it didn't matter. And we said that a growing relationship with Christ changes a person. Changes a person. It should change your values, and it should change your ways of thinking. What we want to focus on today is the mind of Christ. We want to talk about removing from our lives those ungodly thoughts that we have and those actions, and hopefully displaying a godly character. Hopefully displaying a godly character. We want to think of three things. One is new ways of thinking. We've been united with Christ in His death and resurrection. And this unity means that we need to focus our minds on Christ daily. Focus our thoughts, our activities. The second thing are new ways of behaving. We should behave in a godly way. We should guard against those behaviors that characterized our old ways of living before our conversion to Christ. Hopefully we have a new way of behaving. We should renew our minds through the study of Scripture daily. The third thing, we should have a new way of relating. We should live according to the new man in Christ to demonstrate those godly characteristics that only come from God. Particularly that characteristic of love. Without love, all the others don't matter. But it boils down to love. And love is what binds us together. And it was the great love of God that when He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you, it was out of God's love that He did that. What I want to ask you today is, what's on your mind? What is on your mind? People today have all kinds of things on their minds. Their to-do list, what they're going to eat today after church. Do I have enough money to pay all the bills this month? Or maybe I wish I had a nice car like my neighbor. Or I wish I could serve in the church like so-and-so. What's on your mind today? We need to ask ourselves, do I think of things of the world constantly, things of the flesh? Or do I think of things above, heavenly things, spiritual things? You see, we gain more than just going to heaven when we're saved. We should gain a new way of thinking. We should gain, along with that, a new way of behaving and a new way of relating to other people and how we treat them. People around us are always watching us. If you claim to be a Christian, they're going to watch you and how you talk, how you act, the things you do. Paul wrote the book of Colossians to combat the errors in the church. He wanted to show that believers have everything we need in Christ. He wanted to show that the church, that not only through Christ and through the faith that we have in Christ, that we have eternal life. And that only through a continuing connection with that, that we can have that power that He gives us to live with a godly character, a way of thinking, a way of behaving, and a way of relating to others around us. Paul tells us what Christ has done for us and what we as Christians should do for Him. Colossians chapter number 3 If you didn't know, I pretty much lay out simple truths for us all the time. They're just simple truths that the Bible tells us. Preacher will dig in deeper, give us some of those meaty portions of the Scripture, and that's what I like about it. But for me, I'm just going to give you some simple things that you've heard over and over and over. In chapter 3, Paul explains the true Christian behavior. Look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He says, set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He says, putting on the new self by accepting Christ, regarding the earthly nature that we have as dead, and we change our moral and our ethical behavior by letting Christ live within us. And doing this will allow Christ to shape us and conform us to His image. Amen. We must choose every day to focus on the things of God, either whether it's memorizing scriptures of the Bible or our daily prayer life will help us in this area. And if we claim to know Christ, yet fail to think about Him, we need to ask ourselves a question. We need to stop and ask, what are we really doing? Amen. We need to re-examine that relationship that we started with Christ. Whether it was yesterday or whether it was 50 years ago, hopefully we daily think about the things of Christ. Scripture teaches us that there are very few things that last, that very few things that have eternal value and existence. And you know what? The world is not one of them. Those whom God has redeemed should focus on these things that are inherent, those things that we are living for in our lives for Him. Think on these things, the Bible tells us, to set our affection on things above. You see it there in verse number 2? Set your affection on things above. To look at a life from God's perspective, to seek what He desires for us. And doing this should help us to combat the materialism that we have going on in our lives today. How we can gain the proper perspective on those material goods when we take God's view of it. And the more we regard the world around us as God does, I think the more we'll live in harmony with God. Amen? We can't become too attached to the things that are only temporary. It's only temporary. I'm not saying there's bad to have those things. I'm just saying don't get too attached to it. Notice in verse number 3, he says, for ye died. He says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We should have as little desire for this world as a dead person would have. And a dead person has no desire, because a dead person is dead. The Christian's real home, our real home, is where Christ lives. We're just passing by. It's a temporary journey. We're on to bigger and better things. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said that He was going to prepare that place. We can take Him at His word. We're going to be there too. Mansions. The truth gives us a different perspective on our lives, hopefully, as we live out their days on this earth. What does it mean that a believer's life is hidden with Christ, as it says there in verse number 3? It says, your life is hid with Christ. It means it's concealed. It means it's safe. It means that this is a future hope. It's an accomplished fact. Our service and our conduct don't earn our salvation. It's not what we do. It's what Christ does for us. Amen. And they are the results. The things that we do after salvation, those are the results of our salvation, not what gets it there. And we need to take heart that our salvation is sure and live each day for Christ. Amen. Notice in verse number 5, Paul says, when you look at these verses, we're to put away a few things. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil con... I can't even say that word. Somebody say that word for me. Concupiscence. I always mess it up, so I'll just let you say it. And covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes. Notice, you used to be there, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye lived in them. Hopefully you're not there no more. But now ye also put off all these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. When we consider ourselves dead and unresponsive, as verse 5 tells us, we should be dead to those things that are sexually immoral. We should be dead to those things that are impure. We should be dead to those things that create lust in our life. We should be dead to those things that have evil desires. We should be dead to those things that cause greed. Dead, the Bible says. And we've got to stop any of these practices that destroy us. And they will destroy you if you let it. We've got to make a conscious, daily decision to remove anything that supports or feeds those desires. We depend on the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit that lives within us has the power to help us. Amen. Notice the wrath of God there in verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. God chastens who He loves. God's judgment on these kinds of behavior. When we are tempted to sin, remember that we must one day stand before God. God chastens who He loves. Just as a father will chasten his children if they do wrong, God does the same to us. We might think we're getting away with it, but we're not. Notice in verse 8, notice the things that we're also to put away. Verse 7 says we were that way one time when we lived in them. But now, verse 8, he says, put away the anger and the wrath and the malice and the slander and those filthy language. You know what gets me the most when I run into somebody that says they're a Christian? The filthy language that comes out of their mouth. What good does it do? How can they possibly say? It's like they never read it. Did you ever read that in when God saved you as you claim? And did you ever read the scriptures where it says to put on the new man? I'm amazed by it. Those first four items refer to the lack of self-control in handling one's temper. Guilty. Guilty. Gosh, I can get so upset sometimes over things. Guilty. Then it says we're not to lie one to another. It says we need to get rid of ourselves of all those evil practices and all that immorality and commit ourselves to what Christ teaches. We need to be true to our confession of faith. We need to rid ourselves of the old life that we used to be in and put on that new life in Christ. Where is it? Question, are you remaining true to your commitment to Christ? Are you remaining true when you said, God, save me? Verse 9, lying to one another. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Lying disrupts unity in the church. Lying disrupts unity in relationships. It tears down relationships, and it leads to serious conflict. We looked at when relationships collide in Sunday school, and we could see how if a person was to lie, how it could tear down a relationship. We should never exaggerate the things that we say. We shouldn't pass on those rumors that we really don't know the truth of, or the gossip that goes along. All of us need to be committed to telling the truth. Amen. But what does it mean to put on the new self there, as he says in verse number 10? And having put on the new man, which is renewed in God. Our conduct should match our faith, should it not? Amen. If you're a Christian, act like it. Being a Christian means more than just making good resolutions every year or having good intentions all the time. It means taking the right actions, and it should be easy for us as we put on our clothes every day. It should be easy. But there's a battle. There's a battle going on in our minds. Notice it says we need to be renewed in the knowledge, verse 10 there. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. We've got to be continually learning about Him. We've got to know more about Christ. We've got to know more about His work. We've got to be changed like Christ. Changed into the image of Him. And it's a lifelong process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong process. As a newborn babe, when God saves you, you're like a newborn baby growing up. And you start to read and you start to learn and you attend Sunday schools and prayer meetings and whatever. And you start to learn about Christ. Renewed in knowledge. It's lifelong. We should never stop learning. Never stop obeying. And it takes practice. It takes ongoing review of His Word. It takes patience. Oh, how that's hard. It takes concentration. Can I say that along with that, that we shouldn't have any barriers? Any barriers in our life? Christ breaks down those barriers. Christ breaks them down. Nothing should keep us from telling others about Christ. Should it? Nothing. Nothing should hinder our testimony. We as a Christian should be building bridges. Building bridges. Notice in verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, he says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Remember where you were in your life when God forgave you of your sins. Sometimes we have to remember those things. Imitate Christ's compassion. Compassion, the humility, the gentleness, the patience. These virtues are considered traits of a weak person in our day and age. Christ calls us to live in such a way that reflects His image, not ours. goodness, the values, the priorities. And Paul, and God's given to Paul the outline of how it is for us. We need to imitate Christ's compassion. We need to have a forgiving attitude. We need to let love guide our life. We need to let the peace of Christ in our heart. Always be thankful. How is that in our life today? Are we thankful? Are we a thankful Christian? Keeping God's word in you at all times. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him in this world. Does it show? Is the key to forgiving others there in verse number 13. Remember how much God has forgiven you. We need to realize that God's love and forgiveness, so we can love and forgive others. I've heard story after story how family members, brothers and sisters in the same family, separated for 30 years because of an argument. Man, that's hard to believe, but it's true. All the virtues that Paul encourages us to develop are bound together. All of them are bound together by love. All by love. Without love, where would it be? It holds all other virtues in place. The practice of any other without love doesn't mean a whole lot. We should live in peace. We will continue to have differences of opinions. Oh, don't get me wrong, there will be differences of opinions. But we can work together in the church despite our differences. This type of love is not a feeling, but a decision to meet others' needs. It's about others. Christ came about others. We should be about others. To live in love leads to peace. Here's a question. Do problems in your relationships with other Christians cause open conflicts? Or the mutual silence to separate for years and years and years because of a conflict? Consider what we can do to heal those relationships with love. So what's on your mind today? Paul tells us what we are to think, and our thoughts either represent Christ or they represent the world. We have died to sin, have we not? Our lives are secure in Christ, are they not? We will be revealed for what we are when He comes again. Are you proud today that you are indeed what you think? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Little illustration for you of identifying the elect of God. So many times throughout the history, various groups have done different things. One of those are the monks. I don't know if you've ever studied monks before. I did a little study this yesterday on monks. And they have a distinguishing thing. They're different styles, different things of way, they're different religions of monks. But one of them is they adopted a special regimen that marked them as holy ones of God. They wore simple robes and lived alone, often in deserted areas. It says they restricted themselves from the pleasures of the flesh, sometimes including sleep. Wow. Some allowed themselves to sleep only by standing in the middle of a room with nothing to lean on. How do you do that? I've been sometimes standing there and falling asleep. Some lived on very meager diets. They said some even built cages for themselves that were too small to stretch out their legs or even to sit up straight. And they believed that by punishing the flesh, that they were purifying the spirit. Wow. Paul gives us a different perspective. Paul says that We don't need to do those things. He says we are to demonstrate compassion. That's all it takes. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, accepting one another, forgiving one another. But most of all, he says, love. That's all it takes. Love, to bind all those virtues together. Question, what's on your mind today? It's a spiritual battle going on in our minds every day. Question is, what's on your mind? Do you think of things of the world? Think of things of the flesh? Or are you constantly thinking about the good things that Paul describes? I want to be in that category. We're bombarded all over us today with the media and the music and the things. There's some good in it, but there's also a lot of bad in it. Is there not? So what's on your mind today? Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for this time today. Thank you for the precious word of God, Lord. We thank you that you've brought us here safely. We pray for those that have come. We thank you for our visitors this morning, Lord, that they've come again to listen to your word. Lord, I just pray now that you'll bring Preacher home safely, Lord, as you brought Sister Linda and the girls home, Lord. We thank you for that they've come home safely. Lord, we pray for Sharon's uncle today, Lord, that you help him. We pray for Sharon's niece today, Lord, Marlena and the kids, that you'll be their comfort and their strength, Lord, that they need in the coming days. And Lord, many other prayer requests. We think of Sister Marge, how she's hurting today. And Lord, may you help her in a mighty way. And many others, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for loving us. The great love of God that's been bestowed upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Thank you that we can boast that we're a child of God. And Lord, may as Christians today go out and people see that godly character that you've instilled on us. May they see us as we put off the old man and put on the new and the things of Christ. Lord, may the world around us see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you again for this time. Bless your people in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.